Yeah, yesterday was Father's Day. I used up all your dad jokes. So this is, I didn't time this to see if it's more than 3 minutes, but I guess it's 2 minutes, 45 seconds. So we're ready. We are ready for Alex. So I've already introduced Alex. He should be on the screen now. Sorry, Alex, you missed your introduction.
And so
I will turn it over to you.
Well, thank you very, very much. It is wonderful to be with you today for so many reasons. I had COVID last week, and that is why I am not. I'm cleared to leave the basement today, but I wasn't cleared to fly and give you nice COVID hugs today. So I'm presenting virtually. I hope you'll forgive me. But this is an extremely important topic. I'm really pleased to be here with you today, and I think that this is worthy of your attention. It's going to be something that we're going to see a lot of consequences from coming out, over the next few years or decades, centuries. Who knows? I feel like this one really changed the course of nonprofit law. So let's dive right in. Okay, so what you've got is some learning objectives here. Let me just make sure. Okay, that was my bio. All right, learning objectives. We're going to talk about the holding and just what does the case say? What does it mean? The basis for the court's decision, the implications for First Amendment jurisprudence, the response of the states, a little bit of the pending litigation. There's, more, of course, working its way through the court. So we'll just give you a flavor of the litigation and some of the implications for disclosure laws. So let's talk about the holding. What we've got is let me first preface it with why I think this case is important, because I think that's something that what I want you to take away from this session. And so the key point is this. There is a new right, okay? This is the right, the freedom of association. And it is a freedom, a right that belongs to groups. And that is what's fundamentally new here. It's a watershed moment where groups themselves have rights and not just the individuals in that group. So the Bill of Rights talks about individual rights. The freedom of association is not listed there, but the court has created it and elevated it to a heightened status. So that's the big takeaway. New right for groups. I think this is important for nonprofits because what we're ultimately talking about is the right to join with others to advocate for change without state interference. Okay, getting together with other people to advocate for change without state interference. That is the freedom of association, and I would submit to you a definition of nonprofits. Every nonprofit, in order to qualify as a nonprofit, has to have a mission. What is a mission? A mission is a vision for how to change the world. It is a fundamentally radical act to create a mission and say, the world as it is, isn't good enough. I want to change it in some way. From the most trivial and banal of mission statements to the most radical, they all call for some kind of change. Well, who else is in the change business? Governments are, right? We vote, we elect them. They occupy this space where they are our proxies. They are our representatives, and we elect them to pursue the public good. All right, in America, since at least the case of Dartmouth College versus the Federalists, basically, we have concluded that our elected representatives do not have a monopoly on the public good, and that private institutions funded with private capital are also allowed to pursue the public good as they see it without the government, you know, having the power to remove and replace the trustees, change the mission of the organization, you know, modify and radically remake any organization as the government sees fit. So we elect our representatives to pursue the public good in a public way, and then we create nonprofits to pursue the public good in a private way. The separation between the governments and the nonprofits, that kind of wall, that autonomy, is where the pluralism of American civil society comes in. And it's ultimately what this case is about, right? So Daniel Webster, in arguing the Dartmouth College case, which is about higher ed, you know, he said to the Supreme Court, "Will you, you cannot stamp out these great lights of higher education. These are the institutions that are that make up what America really is. You know, this, without them, if we allowed the government to have control over our institutions, you would snuff out all of these bright lights." I just sort of like that image. He was a great orator, so coming up with great images is the name of the game.